Genealogy by Tim, Season 6, Episode 1, recorded January 26, 2026. Hello, I'm Tim of Genealogy by Tim G, genealogybytim.com. You can email me at tim@genealogybytim.com, and this is my show for January 2026. Had a pretty slow season last year. Fell off the wagon a little bit as my interests varied. Did a lot of exercise, but I made a New Year's resolution not to exercise this year, but to do more genealogy. And since I've got a snow day today, got about 8 to 10 inches out there, I got a day off of school. It's a perfect day to record a new genealogy podcast. This one will focus entirely on the Wetton family and their descendants of Elizabeth, New Jersey. So stay tuned for that coming up on Genealogy by Tim. I spent most of my genealogy hours last year preparing my application for the Pennsylvania Ancestors Lineage Society, a division of the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania. When I discovered that they redesigned their forms near the end of last year, I took a step back from preparing that document. I like the new form. I think it's better. I think there's a lot more room on there to enter your sources a little more completely. But I took one look at it and I was like, you know what? This seems like a big job to reformat the form. Why don't I take a break from this and work on another family line for a while? And then when I'm done that, I can come back to the PALS application rejuvenated and have that ready for submission sometime early in 2026. And the family line that I chose to work on in the meantime is the Wetton family of Elizabeth, New Jersey. This, once again, is from my paternal grandmother, Joan Harrison Graham. Her great-grandfather, William Pickersgill Harrison I, married a woman named Harriet Atwood shortly after his discharge from the United States Army after the Civil War. She was an English immigrant, born in 1843 and died in 1920, the daughter of Joseph Atwood and Sarah Allen. Joseph and Sarah had four daughters: Elizabeth Atwood, who was the mother of timber mogul Russell Hawkins; Harriet Atwood, who was my direct ancestor; Anne Atwood, who would marry Charles Wetton and start a family in Elizabeth, New Jersey; and Ellen Atwood, who would marry Alexander Berry and start a family in Philadelphia. Anne Atwood married Charles Wetton in 1870 and bore her two children in Philadelphia before the family moved to Elizabeth, New Jersey, sometime in the 1870s. Charles Wetton was born in England, but he had already been living in Elizabeth, New Jersey, so it was a return home for him. Anne Atwood and Charles Wetton were actually first cousins. Anne Atwood's mother, Sarah Allen, and Charles Wetton's mother, Susanna Allen, were sisters. The Atwood family moved from England to Philadelphia, and the Wetton family moved from England to Elizabeth, New Jersey, back in the mid-19th century. Charles Wetton had been married before, first to a Kate Oliver, who died in 1865. They were married in 1862. Then after Kate died, I feel like someone in the family had the idea that Charles go down to Philadelphia and call on his cousin Anne. And that he did, and he started a family with her and brought that family back up to Elizabeth, New Jersey. Anne Atwood Wetton died in 1900 at the age of about 55, after which Charles remarried again to a woman named Mary Whitehead. Anne Atwood and Charles Wetton had two children, Susan, born 1871, and Walter, born 1872. And this branch of the Wetton family is of most interest to me because they're the most closely related to me. But Charles Wetton's parents, Henry Wetton and Susanna Allen, also moved from England to Elizabeth, New Jersey, and started a whole clan of Wettons, of whom Charles Wetton was only one son. Henry Wetton and Susanna Allen had five children. Charles Wetton was the oldest, born in 1841. Sarah was born in November of 1842. Susanna was born about 1845. William was born about 1848, and the baby of the family, Harriet, was born in September of 1852. I've been tracing descendants of these families mostly by using the online Elizabeth Daily Journal newspaper, which is available for free from the website of the Elizabeth Public Library. I spent quite a lot of time using my image editor to clip the articles from the newspaper, arrange them into PDFs, and add them to my family history software. Now, an interesting thing that I discovered about the Elizabeth Daily Journal while doing this research is that it was an evening paper. So it happened very often that an event that happened during the day on one day would have an article written up about it that very same day. So if I knew that an ancestor died on a Tuesday, there may well be an obituary in the Tuesday evening paper. And that's different from most other papers that I've researched in my experience as a genealogist. Like the Philadelphia Inquirer, for example, is a morning paper. So typically I would look for obituaries the following day after the event. But the Elizabeth Daily Journal, they were right on top of it. You kind of had to be right there and search for the obituary death notice on the day of the event. Another interesting thing about the Elizabeth Daily Journal is that they published a lot of funeral notices in addition to death notices and obituaries. So it took me a while to catch on to this, but I was just kept looking and seeing, like, wow, there's a lot of funeral of this person, funeral of that person. After having gathered a whole lot of obituaries and death notices, I started going back and looking for funeral notices and found several. One of them including a picture of Henry A. Pootney and others containing lists of family members who attended the funerals. So, yeah, a couple things unique about the Elizabeth Daily Journal that keeps me going back there to that Elizabeth Public Library website to dig up more dirt. Well, not just dirt, but good stuff. Good stuff about the Wettons. And this, of course, has become a deep rabbit hole. Every time I feel like I'm just about exhausted of everything to learn about the descendants of Henry and Susanna Wetton, I stumble into another hole. I'm stuck there for several more days or weeks. I think I'm almost done with this, but who knows what I'll find tomorrow. I'll be on this for a couple more weeks, and eventually the goal is to wrap up Descendants of the Wettons and return to my Pennsylvania Ancestors Lineage Society application. And of course, when I get around to do that, you'll hear about it here. Of course, in every family, there are any number of interesting characters who make the old documents come to life. And I'd like to tell you about several of the Wetton descendants who are quite interesting. Starting with Charles Wetton, he and his first wife, Kate Oliver, had two children. One of them, Chauncey Wetton, died in infancy. The other, Charles E. Wetton, was born in 1863. He grew up to be a doctor, well-known physician, in New York, which is right across the border from Elizabeth, New Jersey. He was a graduate of the New York Homeopathic Hospital and practiced in Syracuse. He died quite young of a cerebral hemorrhage in 1904. It would make him about 41 years old. To my knowledge, he never married or had any children. Charles had two children with his second wife, Anne Atwood, sister of my direct ancestor, Harriet Atwood. Those two children were Susan Wetton. Susan was born in 1871. Her younger brother, Walter Wetton, was born in 1872. Walter was a prominent banker and was vice president and trust officer of the National State Bank in Elizabeth, New Jersey. He died in December of 1937. His wife, the former Miss Florence Matthews, survived him a couple decades and died in July of 1963. Susan Wetton, Walter's older sister, was born in 1871. She married Lemuel B. Churchill to become Mrs. Susan Churchill. Lemuel B. Churchill Sr. was the head of a shirt factory in Elizabeth, New Jersey. The shirt factory bore his name, according to the New York Times obituary published on the 26th of March, 1938. Susan and Lemuel Churchill had these children, Walter E. Churchill, Lemuel B. Churchill Jr., and Sue Irene Churchill. Walter and Lemuel Jr. I haven't yet studied in detail, but Sue Irene Churchill had an interesting career. She was a horticulturalist and host of the radio program Round the World with Gardens on the WJLK radio station. Among her other accomplishments, she was named Judge of Flower Shows throughout the country. She didn't have any children of her own, to my knowledge, but she married twice, first to Sidney Albert Howell, who died in 1955, and then to James O. Colville, who died in 1977. These two men had children from previous marriages, so she was a stepmother, but never had children of her own. In Sue Irene Colville's 1977 obituary, in Mrs. James Colville's obituary, published in the Asbury Park Press on the 9th of March 1977, Sue was described as a member of the Physical Therapy Society, a member of Red Bank Chapter No. 70, Order of the Eastern Star, the White Shrine of New Jersey, and a charter member of the Sore Optimist Club of Red Bank. And the Sore Optimist Club still is active today. You can visit the national organization's website at soreoptimist.org, and they describe themselves as a volunteer organization that provides women and girls with access to the education and training they need to achieve economic empowerment, specifically those facing significant obstacles. And that sounds to me like quite a worthy cause. If you are interested in that sort of thing, check out soreoptimist.org. So Sue Irene Churchill, also Sue Irene Howell, and Sue Irene Colville. A very interesting person. There's a very nice picture of her in front of the microphone in the September 19th, 1948 edition of the Asbury Park Press, where she is named a judge of a local flower show. And that just about wraps up all I know of the descendants of Anne Atwood, who married her first cousin, Charles Wetton, and raised a family in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Henry and Susanna Wetton had four other children besides Charles. There is Sarah Wetton, born 1842, died 1904. She married Henry A. Pountney, who was a steamboat captain in various places around the country, and it says in his obituary of June 16, 1916, "For a number of years, Mr. Pountney owned and operated a line of tugs and other vessels, and he became known among the people as Captain Pountney, a title which clung to him through life. At the time of his retirement from active life about 13 years ago, he was chief engineer of the Starin line of steamboats to Glen Island." It also says, "When the volunteer fire department was in operation, Mr. Pountney was an active member of Engine Company No. 4. So, steamboats and fire companies for Mr. Henry Pountney, who was born in 1830 and died in 1916. Sarah Wetton and Henry Pountney had five children: William Pountney, Henry A. Pountney Jr., Susan Pountney, Sarah Pountney Jr., and Sidney Pountney. Sidney Pountney died as an infant, born and died in 1876, and this was the youngest of the children. The oldest, William H. Pountney, moved with his wife Lillian Hatfield to Boston. Next, Henry A. Pountney moved with his wife, Nettie Patterson, to Texas. There, Henry A. Pountney Jr. found a second wife, Frances Corina Mountain. Susan Pountney married William H. Manville. William H. Manville was a deacon of the Second Presbyterian Church. He was born in February 1865 and died in July of 1940. Susan herself was born in 1866 and died in 1948. They had three children that I'm aware of: Cyrus, Ralph, and Harold Manville. Sarah Pountney Jr. married Wilton Carmichael. They had children Eleanor Carmichael and Elwood T. Carmichael. Elwood T. Carmichael and his wife, the former Miss Beatrice Voorhees, were both high-ranking officers in the American Legion. Mrs. Voorhees being a high-ranking officer in the women's auxiliary. So they weren't both in the same organization. They separated these for men and women. But they were both high-ranking officers in their respective organizations. Next in line, under the descendants of Henry and Susanna Whetton, is Susanna Whetton and her husband, William H. Miller. I don't know too much about the life of the Millers, but they did have three children. Sarah, Martha, and William. Martha married a George W. Dowers. And William, I'm not too sure about. I haven't researched him that much. But the ones I know most about are Sarah Miller and her husband, Charles E. Carleton. Charles E. Carleton was a proprietor of a yarn and embroidery shop in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and was one of the founders of the YMCA there. Sarah and Charles had a daughter, Helen Miller Carleton, who married a William Cuthbert Gray. William Cuthbert Gray was a shipping manager for the A.L. Burbank & Son Steamship Company. And their son, Duncan Carleton Gray, was born in 1927, and he died in 2019, so we're getting close to the common era here. But Duncan Carleton Gray was a structural engineer. His obituary is online at legacy.com. It says in 1962, Duncan settled permanently in the Washington, D.C. area and opened his business. Duncan C. Gray, consulting structural engineer. He designed many of the office buildings, apartments, houses, and hotels in the Crystal City area and in the District of Columbia. He later partnered with Arthur Heinzman, forming the firm Gray and Heinzman. Duncan was an avid traveler and had a lifelong love of the ocean. He built and sailed a 31-foot sailboat on the Chesapeake Bay. And there's a photograph of him in his Legacy.com obituary looking very professional. And you can tell that this is a man who commanded respect. So it's a very interesting person to have on my family tree. He married twice. He married a Barbara Jean Taubenek, who died of cancer in 1977. And his second wife was Maxine Harrison Shaw. Going back up to the top, William Whetton was the fourth child of Henry Whetton and Susanna Allen. He died at the age of 60. For many years, according to his obituary, published in the Elizabeth Daily Journal on the 15th of December, 1908, an engineer in the employ of the Central Railroad. He was considered one of the most trustworthy engineers on the Central Railroad, and as a man and citizen was held in high esteem by his friends and neighbors, this according to the obituary. He married a Martha Baxter, and they had two children of which I am aware, a Harry L. Whetton, who was born in 1872, and a Sarah B. Whetton, who was born in about 1874. Harry L. Whetton married Mary E. Moffat, and I'm not quite sure what happened to this union, but Harry L. Whetton was a performer. He was a violinist and a vaudeville performer and band leader. And this is what was said about him in 1961. It's well after his death in 1940. Valentine A. Fallon was a reporter at the Elizabeth Daily Journal, was reminiscing some of the good old days, and he writes in an article entitled "Abundance of Talent Put City Near Top of Minstrel List." He wrote of Harry L. Whetton. Another important role, in fact the most important, was the coach. This is where Harry Whetton deserves a mention. He was a first-class violinist and played for years at the Proctor Theater, but he was always happiest when putting a minstrel show together. He had the faculty of bringing out the best in any talented player, but he was strict and demanded perfect memory of every performer's lines. Illustrating Whetton's discipline was the occasion when one of the performers, whose name we won't mention, always was unsure of his lines during rehearsal, but he assured Whetton that during the performance he'd be perfect. The night of nights arrived, the cast awaited the curtain, and the theater was filled. The curtain rose, and there were the minstrels, resplendent in their satin costumes. One of the end men fed our hero his cue, and he fumbled. The orchestra vamped, awaiting the start of the song. In the pit, baton in hand, was Wetton, nervous as a cat. Still, the performer fumbled. Finally, in desperation, and red with rage, Wetton yelled, "Give us your line!" Still, the performer stammered. At this point, heard by the whole audience, Wetton explained, "You never did know your lines, sit down." And he did. The audience, first rather puzzled, finally took the exchange as part of the show and filled the playhouse with applause. Because of his many years of experience in the theater, Wetton always went beyond the usual format of a director. There always was an extra touch he insisted upon in that little something that lent a professional air to the performance. And that was Valentine A. Fallon, actually chairman of the Elizabeth Taylor Journal's editorial board, reminiscing in 1961 about the performances of Harry L. Wetton, who died in September of 1940. I'm not aware of any children of Harry Wetton and Mary Moffat, but Harry L. Wetton had a sister, Sarah B. Wetton, who married a Lewis H. Hess. Lewis H. Hess serves many years as secretary and treasurer of the Centrifugal Pump Company in New York. He was born about 1874 and died in 1943. They had several children, of which I am aware. However, I have not yet entered them in my genealogy software. And lastly, the youngest daughter of Henry Wetton and Susanna Allen was Harriet Wetton, who was born in 1852, died in 1934. She married Charles Bullinger in 1871. Charles Bullinger was a corporal in the Civil War, and then later established a ferry between Elizabeth, New Jersey, and Staten Island, and he was captain of the steamer. This according to his obituary of August 4th, 1905, in the Elizabeth Daily Journal. So he died fairly young of heart trouble. In addition to being a captain, he was also a fireman, a member of the former Oscola, am I pronouncing that right? Osceola Hose Company, and at one time the chief engineer of the Elizabeth Fire Department. He was also a member of the Judson Kilpatrick Post, number 64, Grand Army of the Republic, Essence Lodge, number 49, Free and Accepted Masons, and of the United Harbor Pilots Association. So you see a lot of common themes here, especially between Charles Edward Bullinger and his brother-in-law, I guess you'd say, Henry A. Pountney, who were both steamboat captains, both firemen. Harriet and Charles Bullinger had three children, of whom I am aware. Mary, born in 1873, Eugene, born in 1876, and Fanny, born in 1879. And I have not yet delve deeply into these descendants, although I must eventually do that. And that right there is the overview of the Wetton family of Elizabeth, New Jersey. Now, to my knowledge, there aren't any living descendants bearing the Wetton name. I think we had more daughters than sons, and the sons did not procreate as the daughters did, so the Wetton name died out, I believe. You had Walter H. Wetton, the banker, who didn't have children, to my knowledge. Charles Wetton, the doctor, died before he married and had children. William Wetton had one son, Harry Wetton, the vaudeville performer and violinist and bandleader, and he did not have any children, to my knowledge. So, as fun as it would be to make a trip to Elizabeth, New Jersey to see if I can find any living Wetton descendants, I don't believe I will find anyone carrying that specific name. However, there are several descendants carrying various other names whom I might be able to meet someday in the future. And why was this family so interesting to me in the first place? Elizabeth, New Jersey is one of the first places I went on a solo trip. I took my rollerblades, I believe, on the New Jersey Transit train. It was a Northeast Corridor line from Trenton to New York, and I got off at Elizabeth and wheeled on over to the Evergreen Cemetery, where most of these people I've mentioned are buried. And I thought, hey, maybe it might be nice to take a trip back to Elizabeth, if the metadata on my photograph is to be believed. I made my first trip out there in April of 2010, and then I made a return trip in 2016 to take a new crop of photos with my specialized gravestone photography technique. And I haven't been back since, but now that I've been doing all this research, I can hopefully maybe one day this summer head on back to Evergreen Cemetery just outside of Elizabeth, New Jersey, and take a whole crop of new photos of newly discovered relatives. And that just about does it for this episode of Genealogy by Tim. I hope you tune in next month, where I will be talking about either more about the Wettons, or my application to the Pennsylvania Ancestors Lineage Society, or something else completely different that might pop up between now and then. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits. Here I am. I'm recording my podcast while I have chance. Well, I'm recording my podcast. So. Yeah.
I guess you're the one who stole my socks that I was wearing. I put
them in the laundry here. All right.